the people who are going to think you can't do something, it's up to you to prove them wrong. It's up to you to say what you can and cannot do. You can't let anybody else define who you are. That's your job.
This is Running for Real, the podcast for runners who know that for every runner's high, there are just as many lows. All those just missed PRs, easy runs that feel hard, injury blues, and more. Each week, we'll talk to running, health, and wellness experts about their highs, lows, and best advice to build our confidence. Running for Real is about being honest, being brave, and most of all, not feeling alone. And now here's our host, who loves to host surprise parties for family members, Tina Muir.
Hello, my friends. Thank you so much. And welcome to episode 60 of the Running for Real podcast. I am really excited that you are here. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, last week, you heard from Colin McCourt. Quite an interesting story. I don't know how many of you had heard of his story before, but I absolutely loved it and I thought it was so inspiring. He's a great guy, as he calls himself, an ordinary geezer. For those of you British people know what that means. For the US or anywhere else listeners around the world, that kind of means just an average guy. But geezer is kind of we say it's like a Cockney word, but just kind of like a slang word, I guess, for someone who's just a normal person. And as you heard, Colin was very real, shared his story with us about going from Great Britain athlete to gaining 50 pounds, not running a step, to taking on a bet with some friends that he was going to get a tattoo with 17 names on his back if he did not break 16 minutes in the 5K by the end of the year, to accomplishing that, and now what he's doing next. Great story, really fun interview. If you missed that one, be sure to go check it out. Now, today I have something very different. I've never done anything like this before. I don't think any other podcast in the running realm has done an interview like this. It is completely unique, but something absolutely amazing. This is a friend of mine. She's a wonderful person. But as you're going to hear in a second, there were some logistical challenges to interviewing her. Now, Susan Latke, many of you may have heard of or seen her articles in many of the running publications. She does a great job getting these interesting articles out there. I know in the latest issue of Women's Running magazine, she wrote about running today and how we're so connected, about the social media influence, kind of the statistics, I guess, on what running means to us. Really interesting. Now, she recently wrote a book, which is the reason that I had her on to talk about this today. And it was something that, you know, I had read myself, absolutely loved her book, really different to other running books out there. You know, she could have written about her running journey when it comes to training, but she actually wrote about the friendship she had with a guy named Carlos. You're going to hear about it today. Now, I wanted to bring Susan on the show, but there was one problem in that Susan is deaf. Now, being deaf, obviously, I can't just, you know, call her up and interview her. So we had to do it a bit differently. So I sent her some questions, waited until she was going to be able to go to a recording studio, as Susan doesn't live anywhere near me. And I gave the questions, and Cara, who is someone who works at Velo Press, who published her book. The book, by the way, is called Life's Too Short to Go So Effing Slow. You will love the book if you love kind of a sense of humor and you didn't have kind of the perfect introduction into running. If you know you don't take yourself too seriously, you know, she really talks about how her struggles going from, you know, a smoker, completely overweight, no exercise whatsoever, to signing up for an Ironman triathlon. No easy feat. But yes, so I sent my questions over. Cara read them to her. She responded back. Now, I could have, you know, overlapped my own asking of the questions, you know, recorded this afterwards and put them in there, had Jeremy do this for you. But, you know, I thought about it and I was kind of going back and forth on it. Partly, it's difficult for me to find the time to do something like that with a 3-month-old daughter. And then the other side of it is that I thought, you know, a lot of the Running For Real podcast, the special part about it is kind of the banter, the conversation. And Susan has a wonderful personality, absolutely amazing woman. And I didn't want to make it seem like we had a very kind of platonic relationship, very like, you know, serious and just kind of to the point. And there was no kind of like banter in between. So I thought I would just leave it as it is. These were my questions. I submitted them to her. She said she loved the questions, you know, really fun questions. I wish I could have given her more. And actually, I probably would have had I known this was going to be a short interview. But, you know, you never really know. And especially for her, when she didn't have that kind of interjection of my kind of maybe making her elaborate on things, that she would have just, you know, kind of given her answer and then that'd be that. So I have left it as it is. I hope you enjoy this episode. It is something completely different, as I mentioned. And, you know, I really enjoyed hearing Susan's responses and I think you will too. So we are going to hear a word from our sponsor in just a second, and then we will get right to the interview. But one thing before we do, if you have been listening to the Running for Real podcast for a while now, will you please consider leaving me a rating and or a review on iTunes? That really helps me climb up the rankings. And, you know, I really appreciate those reviews so much. And actually, on that note, I haven't even told you guys yet. I have started a daily podcast, just a kind of life rambles, no editing, no thinking, no prep, just kind of talking into the microphone, a daily podcast 5 days a week called Tina for Real. So while you are leaving me a rating and review, you can search either my name, Tina Muir, or just look for Tina for Real, the number four. And yeah, I've started this daily podcast. I talk about mental stuff on Monday, you know, kind of the struggles we have as runners when it comes to psychology and kind of the doubt we have in ourselves. On Tuesday, I give a funny mother runner update, something funny that happened or something I think about, like getting, you know, random kids songs like Be Our Guest stuck in your head when you're running. Not exactly motivational, but kind of makes you laugh. Wednesday, I give my training updates. So just, you know, how things are going, tell you what workouts I did, what long runs, how many miles I did, whatever the update is, just kind of my postpartum journey. Thursdays, I give you a running tip, some kind of running piece of advice that I think you can take and use in your own training. And then Friday is your list of questions. So if you have anything you would love to ask me, anything can be, you know, something random or something about, I don't know, my favorite ice cream. If you want me to elaborate on exactly how I would make a dream ice cream, whatever it may be, you can submit your questions any of the usual places, you know, Instagram, Facebook, on the Anchor app, which is where the podcast is sitting. It also can be found on all the normal places or the normal podcast apps, I should say. But yeah, I would love to hear from you. So we're just going to hear a word from our sponsors and then we'll be right to the episode with Susan. Me again. Just one thing I wanted to say before we do get going into this episode. There is some swearing in it, and not just a little swearing, there's quite a bit of swearing in it. So if you are listening with children, you may want to put some headphones in or listen to it another time. This is going to be an episode where I didn't want to, you know, bleep it out, because essentially what Susan is talking about, this is so her. We talk about being your authentic self, and I want you to kind of hear Susan for who she is. So enjoy this one, but just to be warned, there are some expletives in here, and I hope that is okay. If it offends you, I do apologize. Please go on to the next episode, but you know, I wanted to leave it in here because it's just who Susan is. So enjoy. Thank you to Body Health for sponsoring this episode of Running for Real. You can save 10% at bodyhealth.com using coupon code TINA10 and join hundreds of other Running for Real listeners who have tried Perfect Amino and use it every day.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We know one another through your work as a writer for various publications. When did you decide that you were going to make the bold move of writing a book?
I never decided to write a book, actually. It all came together through a series of happy accidents. And one of those first accidents was my friendship with a man named Carlos Nunez. He was my boss, and he also became one of my very best friends. And that was thanks to Ironman Triathlon. He was the one who introduced me to endurance sports and taught me everything that I needed to know about Ironman. But he taught me a lot more than that during 10 years of friendship. And a lot of those lessons I learned when he was fighting stage 4 cancer. And as he was dying from the cancer, I was reflecting on all of the things that he had taught me. And I thought, I need to write these down. I'm going to forget these. I'm going to forget him. I don't want to do that. And so as I was writing it down, I mentioned it to a few of my colleagues at Triathlete Magazine and Competitor Running Magazine. And they said, you really need to turn this into a book. This is important. And one thing led to another, and now here we are talking about my book. Life's too short to go so fucking slow.
Very honest, relentlessly yourself, which I admire so much. When did you decide that you didn't need to tiptoe around others, censor yourself, and paint the perfect image of yourself?
I think running has played a big part in that. I have a tendency to feel like I need to be perfect, that I need to be the best at everything I do. And with running, every single day, I'm reminded that I'm not perfect, that I'm not the best. I fail miserably just about every time I go out for a run. I trip over something. I forget food. I have bad days out there. And so I have this reminder that being perfect is not possible. What you need to do is be the best that you can be with what you have. And that's something that I have really taken and applied to all aspects of my life. I'm never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be heart set. But I can be me, and I can be the best me that I can be. And so I can't censor myself. I can't tiptoe around others. I can't be anything other than uniquely who I am.
That comes out in the book's title too, doesn't it? What advice would you have for others who feel like they are hiding their true self from the world?
The only advice that I have is that eventually people are going to find out who you are. You can only pretend for so long. You can only have this act that you play, this role that you play for so long. And eventually the real you slips out. You might as well just do it now. Just go out there, be authentically you, and own it. Because whether people like it or not doesn't matter. What matters is that you like yourself, that you feel good about yourself, and that you own every single bit of who you are.
Okay, Susan, you are deaf, which is why this interview is being recorded in a different way from my usual interview. Can you tell us how that affects your running?
It really doesn't. I mean, my ears are broken, not my legs. So it's never really been a huge issue for me. Sometimes I may not hear if somebody's coming up behind me on the trail. And so they may get angry if they say on your left and they can't pass me. But they usually run away just thinking I'm an asshole. They don't figure out that I'm deaf. And to be fair, I am an asshole too. So in the grand scheme of things, me being deaf doesn't really affect my running all that much.
How do you handle people trying to protect you or treat you differently? With your sense of humor, I have a feeling you don't take mollycoddling too well.
I've always been really good at standing up for myself, as saying, this is what I need and this is what I don't need. And that was something that my parents taught me to do from a very, very young age, where they said, there's people who are going to treat you differently. There's people who are going to think you can't do something. It's up to you to prove them wrong. It's up to you to say what you can and cannot do. You can't let anybody else define who you are. That's your job. And so, no, I don't take it very well when people try to say, well, you have to be protected or you have to be sheltered in some way. No, fuck you. I can do it. I will do it. Get out of my way.
Let's talk about the book's title, Life's Too Short to Go So Fucking Slow. Now, why that title?
I mentioned my friend Carlos before, and he was my best friend and my training partner. And every single Saturday and Sunday, we would train together. Saturdays, we would run. Sundays, we would ride. And on those Sunday morning rides, I was never able to keep up with him, ever. He was so much faster than me. And usually, he would ride at my speed. He would slow down. He would stick with me. And he would be very gracious about it. But sometimes he would get very frustrated. Usually it was because I was really dragging ass. I was too slow. I was whining. I forgot to eat. I was making all these mistakes. And when he was fed up with that, he would say, you know what? Life's too short to go so fucking slow. And then he would drop me. He would ride up and he would let me deal with my own drama myself because he just did not want to handle that. And so when it came time to write this book, it was a very natural title for the book.
Your relationship with Carlos. You used to smoke, drink, you were a self-proclaimed whiner, a little lazy. What was it about Carlos that got you moving like others in your life hadn't been able to?
For some reason, Carlos thought I could change. He thought that I could be better. He thought that I could do all of these hard things that I thought were impossible. And nobody ever said that to me. Nobody ever pushed me like that before. I don't know why he did that. I don't know why he picked me particularly. He had a tendency to raise the bar for everybody around him. So it's not like he singled me out. But for some reason, no matter how much I whined, no matter how much I complained, he never gave up on me. And so I had no choice but to step up my game and to do the hard things. I had to push through. I had to shut up and get it done. And that was really something that was life-changing for me because I just hadn't had a person in my life who said, you can do it. I believe you can do it. And I'm going to help get you there.
Why did you stand out to him? He never really talked to you much before. Why did he decide he wanted to help you?
I'm not entirely sure. I really don't know what it was because we were very different people. When we met, I was 23 years old. He was 42 years old. I was a chain smoker. He was an Ironman triathlete. There was really nothing that made sense about our friendship. But for some reason, we clicked. He got me and I got him. Even though we were very different people, we were able to find the mutual respect for each other. And that grew into a profound friendship that lasted for 10 years where we were there for each other unconditionally.
I loved your thoughts on exercisers before you became one. Will you share?
I used to think that running was for crazy people. I thought that they were this cult. They were all hoity-toity, thought they were better than me. They were running half marathons and eating salad. And so I really hated them, actually. And I had a lot of friends who were runners. I had a lot of friends who were healthy people. I wasn't one of them. And so my defense mechanism was to make fun of them. Rather than join them, rather than learn more about them, I would mock them. And the reason I did that was because I was too scared to join them. I was too scared to do the hard thing. And so I would just make all these jokes and then avoid answering why I didn't give it a try.
How did you feel once you realized you had joined this club and you were one of us?
I felt kind of stupid, actually, that I had waited for so long. And one of the things that I realized was that my own insecurities had gotten in the way of me taking control of my life. I really didn't believe that I could do it. I didn't believe that I could change. And so for somebody to step in like Carlos did and say, actually, you can, was a big tipping point for me. And so now what I started doing is I started taking that role for other people in my life. and my writing, especially. I try to make running and triathlon something that sounds achievable for every person, because it is achievable for every single person out there. You just have to take that first step. And sometimes you need somebody to push you into that first step. And if I'm that person, so be it.
You could have written about this journey, about how you got fit and fell in love with triathlons, but instead you focused on your friendship with Carlos. Why?
There are a lot of books out there about how running changed my life. Triathlon made me lose 70 pounds and marry a Norwegian supermodel. And the truth is that running and triathlon will not change your life. I firmly believe that. It's the people in the community who will change your life. It's the people who inspire you. It's the people who challenge you. It's the people who believe in you that will transform you. And so when I wrote this book, I wanted to really show that these relationships that are formed in running and triathlon and sport are really unique and life-changing. And it's something that I think a lot of us can relate to. A lot of us have that training buddy or that mentor or that inspiration who really shows us how to do more, how to be better. And sometimes those lessons come in the form of a 5K or a triathlon, but more often those lessons come when we're having these long bike rides or these epic trail runs or really challenging moments in training. And that's where we let our guard down. That's where we become vulnerable. And that's how we learn how to be human.
What is it about tough training runs, rides, and swims that really show us who someone is?
Honestly, I think we're tired. I think we're just getting our asses kicked out there when we have these really tough days out on the trail. And that makes us let our guard down. We get frustrated. We curse. We throw things. We kick rocks. We do all of these things that just wouldn't normally happen in polite conversation and polite company. So we see people as they really are when we're out there on these long runs or these hot bike rides. And that allows us to open up the channel of communication where we feel comfortable. We feel safe talking about other things because this person has already seen me at my worst. This person knows what I'm really like, so I might as well just let the floodgates open and let it all out.
Carlos had health complications, which ultimately led to his passing. How did you feel when you found out about his cancer?
When Carlos was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, it was completely shocking to everybody because he was the Ironman triathlete who was very healthy, very fit, and here he had cancer and a terminal diagnosis at that. Like none of it made sense. And so we were just kind of flailing around trying to figure out what all of this meant. And Carlos, being Carlos, said, well, but I'm going to beat this because that's what he did. He just said, I can do this. I can do hard things because he had done the hard things before with Ironman and with all of his training and his life. He had overcome so much already that for him, this was just one more thing to overcome. And immediately I was so inspired by that because I don't know that many of us would react the same way. So many of us would be, you know, hopeless and lost and overwhelmed by this diagnosis. I don't know how many of us, when backed into a corner like that, would just start fighting the way that he did. And so, of course, I was going to fight right alongside him. Anything he needed, if he just needed somebody to, you know, be there for him to hold his hand during chemo, if he needed somebody to bring him candy and ginger ale when he was feeling sick, if he just needed somebody to say, I can believe in you unconditionally, then that was going to be me. I was going to help him fight no matter what.
I heard his voice in your head at many points during the race. How important is it to have someone you love and trust there to support you, even in your head, during the tough parts of the race?
Because Carlos had taught me and shown me in so many ways that he believed that I could do it. Having that banked in my head during the tough moments of a race was something that I very much relied on. If I felt that I couldn't do it, then I had somebody else out there who believed that I could. And so having that knowledge was what carried me through when I didn't believe in myself. Somebody else did. And you know what? I trust this person. They must see something in me that I don't. So I'm going to trust them at this point. I'm going to let them carry me through that. So I think it's really good to have that person who's in your corner unconditionally, whether it's your best friend, your husband, your mom, anybody, but just remembering that even in those moments when you don't believe in yourself, somebody else does. So trust that.
You came to the realization that it was not about the race itself. What was it about instead?
The first time that Carlos told me about Ironman, he said that he did the race and he would swim and he would bike and he would run, and it was a total of 140.6 miles. And I thought that was fucking crazy. And I asked him, how long does it take? And he said, on a good day, about 10 hours. And I said, that sounds really painful. And he got so excited. And he said, oh, but the pain is the best part. It's what lets you know you're alive. And at the time, I thought that was the dumbest thing I had ever heard in my life. But now I realize that that is the best part. The pain is the best part. When you go and you suffer and you're reminded that you're human and you overcome and you hit that finish line with the realization that you did that all on your own, you moved all these miles under your own power, there's nothing that makes you feel more alive than that moment. And so, no, it's not about the race. It's about being reminded that you possess this amazing body and a life within it, and you should really be using it up. You should be making the most of it. And Carlos knew that. Carlos knew that, and he exemplified that in every single way and every single thing that he did. So for me, when I had that moment of, it's not about the race, it's never about the race, I finally understood what Carlos meant when he said, it's what lets you know you're alive.
Susan, where can people find more out about you?
My book, Life's Too Short to Go So Fucking Slow, is available in print, e-readers, and audiobook. You can get it at running stores or online or at SusanLakey.com. When you read it, I would love to hear what you think. You can tweet me at SusanLakey or you can hit me up on Facebook.
Great. So Tina, those are the end of the questions, but now we have your running for real four questions. Susan, what is a unique nutrition tip?
After every single long run, I take a non-alcoholic beer into the shower and I drink it. Now, a lot of runners know about the shower beer, but here's the thing. It's been documented that alcoholic beverages negate the benefit of the shower beer. It has to be a non-alcoholic beer, but it has everything that you need to replenish after a long run. It's got the carbs and the sugars, it rehydrates you, and also it's really delicious when you drink it in the shower. So that is my training and recovery secret.
How about a running for real moment, which is a moment only runners will understand?
The other day, I was out for my long run, and there was a cold front coming in. And it was super, super windy. Like, we're talking like 40 mile per hour wind. It was ridiculous. But I was about 10 miles from home, so I still had a long way to go. And I was starting to get really frustrated because I had a long way to go, but there was this headwind and it was just, man, it was kicking my ass. And so in a moment of fatigue and exasperation, I started punching the wind while I was running. It didn't make any difference really, but it made me feel a little bit better. So.
And how about a high moment?
I beat my husband the other day, which was a pretty big moment for me. We've been together for 8 years, and he's always been faster than me. But the other day, I dropped him, and man, it felt so good.
And what do you tell yourself when you stand on the start line of a race?
When I stand on the start line of a race, I'm usually thinking, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. But here's the cool thing. The starting gun goes off, and you say, well, might as well. And so you kind of give in to the panic and you say, I'm here. I've already started. Might as well finish it. And then you finish it and you do this really cool thing, right? Like you have this realization of what was I so scared of, you know? And I still have never stood at the starting line of a race without panicking, without saying, oh, shit. But I think that's good. I think it's nice to have that reminder every time you race of, I can do this, and I will do this, but you have to actually show up. You have to actually start, and you have to get past the panic.
Great. Well, that is all of the questions, Tina. Thank you for being on the podcast, Susan.
Thank you, Tina. It was great.
Summer is finally approaching after an endless winter, and for many of us, that means we have to get our runs in before that burning sun starts to beat down on our head. Which means early starts, and early starts can mean we don't always get a chance to have a proper breakfast before our runs, although I would recommend you have something. Starting the day on a deficit means you have to catch up on fueling if you want to perform at your best. And that's where Body Health Perfect Amino can come in. If you take it immediately following those summer morning runs, or any time you finish your run, and give your body the kickstart it needs to start repairing those muscles after your run, that gives you 23 minutes while it digests or while it begins to be utilized by your body to stretch, foam roll, shower while it works its magic, and then you can have your breakfast or have your meal and get on with your day, knowing that you've given your body those essential 8 amino acids that your body needs to support and maintain all your systems. Body Health is a vegan-sourced, non-GMO, gluten-free, soy and dairy-free product. And guess what? They have a 100% money-back guarantee, so you have absolutely nothing to lose by giving it a try. By now, you know I believe in it, and you should too. You can get 10% off using code TINA10 at bodyhealth.com. Wasn't that interesting to hear from Susan? She had so many great points, and I thought maybe we could discuss some of these right now, especially as this was a shorter episode. And, you know, there were so many things she said right there that were really, you know, deep, philosophical, you know, really make you think, especially about what's beyond just the results, just the kind of finishing times. Now, we often, you know, use these metrics to kind of judge ourselves by and talk about what's most important, you know, what our PRs are. Usually runners meet by kind of discussing what their PRs, what their bests are, but there is so much more to running or training beyond that. And it was good to hear Susan talk about that. You know, firstly, I love that she said about when I asked her about being who you are, being the real you and why that is important. And she said, you know, eventually the real you is going to come out, so you might as well own it. Now, that's something I hadn't really thought about a lot because it's something that, you know, why would you think about being yourself? Surely it's just going to happen, isn't it? But then is it? Because a lot of the time we do, as we've already said, hide behind this feeling of we have to show this highlight reel on social media and we have to kind of, you know, be the perfect person or be this put together, wonderful person that we think everyone wants to see rather than being who we are, you know, kind of, you know, swearing like Susan did when need be, or just doing things that maybe feel right to you, but might not kind of sit well with everyone else, but you're being yourself. So I loved what she said just there. And, you know, I'm really trying to be my authentic self. I hope you guys see that. I guess I'm not really trying. I just am being myself. And you guys see that. But, you know, I'm guilty just as much of anyone else of wanting to put this perfect image out. And, you know, I definitely was that way when I was elite running before. I wanted to put out an image that kind of matched with what I was supposed to be. But, you know, let's work together and just be who we are. So I challenge you, my friends, to do something, put up something within, let's say, a week of you just being your authentic self, something that maybe you wouldn't typically share. Maybe it's a bit of a, you know, a photo you have no makeup on, or maybe it's a, you know, post-run picture where you have a red sweaty face. I don't know, something like that. So let's see if you can do it. Maybe tag Susan in it. You know, she did say about her Twitter handle, you could use that. You could use Facebook. Tag me, tag her. And yeah, let's see what we come up with here. She also talked about joining a club, finding your community, which was my favorite part of her answers, because she talked about the people and the community that you're part of that change your life, not the running itself, which I thought was so, so true. And that is one of the wonderful things about the Running for Real Superstars community, is that it is a life changer and it is such an important place to be. And it's so much, you know, so much more than just the results. You know, I talked a few minutes ago about it being more than the PRs and the times and the distances. And that's what I love about the Superstars community, is that it's so inclusive. You know, we have so many people who often come in and say, I'm not a fast runner, but they're not saying that within a few weeks of being there, because they realize that it really doesn't matter. Our community is just wonderful, full of runners of every level, every size, every shape, every distance, everything. And, you know, when I interviewed Sarah Wiliati on the Superstars interview episode, she talked about how there, you know, there's some faster runners in there that inspire her. So we do have like the top level, but we also have, you know, people who are just doing it to finish it. And it's just a wonderful place to be. So I love that Susan was talking about how it's not the running itself that changes your life, but it's the community that you're in, the people that you surround yourself by. So thank you guys. Thank you, my friends, for being there, being a part of who I have become and what running means to me, because it really is a lot about the community. And when I do something exciting, I want to share it with you as my listeners, as my friends, especially as I've now started the Tina for Real podcast. I hope you've checked it out by now. And, you know, it's a great place to kind of get that support and not, you know, feelings that you know that you're doing the right thing. So thank you for being that part of that community. I would love to hear what your thoughts were on that. And then, you know, finally, she talked about, what did you think of runners? When I said to her about what was your opinion of runners before you joined the club, essentially. And, you know, she said that she thought she was, you know, thought they were crazy, thought we were like a cult, never thought she would be a part of it, but now she is and she loves it. I was just curious. I would love to hear your thoughts. You can tweet at me, you can respond on Facebook, anything you like. What did you think of runners before you joined the running club? Or have you been a runner since you were, you know, young, so you never really knew any different? But I would love to hear what you guys thought initially of being a runner. Now, I interviewed Chad quite a long time ago on the podcast, and he talked about how, you know, when he was living in a park homeless, he, you know, thought the same thing as Susan did, runners were this crazy, weird cult who wore bright shorts. And then now he's a member of the club. Now she's a member of the club. I would love to hear what your thoughts were on runners before, for anyone who, you know, maybe wasn't initially a runner. So you can send those to me and yeah, let's get some conversation going. What did you really enjoy about Susan? You know, she talked often about having that person in your corner. I think that's what the Superstars community is so wonderful at, is giving you a whole group of people in your corner. And I often tell people to, when you're in races, imagine that the superstars are lining the streets, all those crowds that are out there are the superstars cheering you on. But what, you know, who is that person to you? It, you know, like she said, it doesn't have to be a husband. It doesn't have to be a wife or, you know, even your children. It doesn't have to be family who support you, but you need someone there who believes in you and wants you to do your best. So I'd love to hear the person in your corner was when this episode comes out. So you can find links to everything we talked about today in the show notes at tinamuir.com/episode 60. And I will have links to everything Susan talked about, including her book. Now, I just wanted to say, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I do have this new podcast, daily podcast, Tina for Real, which comes out 5 days a week. If you haven't already checked that out, I would love for you to check it out. You can find it in all the usual iTunes or Apple podcasts, as they now call it, Stitcher, you know, Player FM, what else? Pocket Cast, Overcast, all the usual places you can search for either my name, Tina Muir, or you can search for Tina for Real. That's the number four. And find it, take a listen, let me know what you think. I'm really interested to hear what you think. And yeah, I'm enjoying doing it so far. Now, next week we have Manal Rostrum, who is, you know, done really well for Nike, kind of becoming one of the first women to run in cover to really get some attention. She is a wonderful role model and I think you're really going to love her. So tune in next week to enjoy that one. And I hope you have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Running for Real podcast. Be sure to check out TinaMuir.com for show notes and even more helpful running information.